both of these men are egotistical maniacs. Everybody knows that.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Writer and the Fighter. I'm your co-host, David Golden from OregonSportsNews.com, joined today by my co-host, Jake the Half-Black Attack Smith from Bellator MMA. What up, dude?
What's up, man? I'm glad you, I like how you said I'm joined today, like I'm not always here.
You're always, yeah. He never leaves my house, guys. He's always here.
It's a comfy home, you know?
Yeah, he's forced to leave during Steelers games. He gets too excited. Yeah. We can't have him over here.
So, yeah, it's, you know, I start breaking shit and stuff. It's a very stressful time for me.
Well, and you know, my wife is with child, so if there's too much excitement, it's rough. And when the Niners keep losing, I keep screaming, and it's too much. It's too much pressure.
You know? Like, I almost want to start my own like fantasy podcast. About fantasy football, or not even a podcast. I just want to do like a YouTube thing. Like, I'm so balls deep into fantasy football. Like, I pay attention more to fantasy football than I do fucking MMA. It's pretty bad.
I told you, man. You can get obsessed with it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Every year I get more and more. And like now I'm looking. I don't know why this is an MMA podcast, but anyways, now I'm looking at like punters, and I'm like, this bad field position, and da-da-da. Like it's getting fucking terrible.
Yeah, it's tough, right?
Is there like a MMA like fantasy thing? Does that exist?
Uh huh. You could do DraftKings MMA. So it's like,
really?
Yeah, it's like weekly fantasy for events that come up. It doesn't
translate.
Carry over the way the, you know, football does, or even like baseball for that matter, or any. Like, you know, statistical sport, you know, it's way better for football than it is for MMA, but you can do it.
That's interesting.
Some people like it, you know, whatever. I like for MMA, like in terms of fun things to do for gambling.
Yeah.
It's all about just making good parlays. Like that's the most fun thing you can do.
I don't even understand parlays.
So like you'll pick, say you have there's a card, right? We'll take Bellator from this weekend. We'll take the Bellator 207, right? So on that card there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 13 fights. Mm-hmm. And if you decided like, okay, I'm gonna place a bet on, like, say you have a fight that you really like and you're like, I know this underdog's gonna win this fight.
Yeah.
You're positive of it. Like, you're gonna make money on that one. If you take that and you tie it with a couple other fights that you pick, statistically it's gonna be harder for you to win all three of those fights, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you pick three fights. So every time you add a fight to your parlay, it makes your odds like increase, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like it makes it so you can win more money. So say you pick five fighters for their fights in a parlay.
Yeah.
If all five of them win, you cash out way bigger than if you just bet
did
on one fight.
Okay.
So
that's neat.
Yeah. So it's pretty fun.
Yeah.
It's a fun thing to do, and when you hit, you can hit super big. Like if you had like three underdogs you were positive were going to win,
yeah,
and you bet on those, you know, put them all together in a parlay, fuck, you could kill it.
Do you know who I heard was like a huge, huge like favorite in a fight and then lost this weekend?
Huh.
Baby Slice. He was like an 1100 plus or something.
Minus 1100.
Yeah, it was like 1100, 1700 like favorite to win the fight, and homeboy fucking got fucked up. So that would have been a huge one to bet on.
Yeah, that would have been a good one to bet on. So if you bet on, that one, and then say you had a couple others that you knew you were going to win, like if say like you just Gator, knew Karatonov was going to win, and you knew Lawrence Larkin was going to win, and you put those two with the kid who fought Baby Slice, Corey Browning.
Yeah,
your odds are, you know, the odds are stacking at that point. So. You'd win more money. So like a cool thing on a parlay is like if you bet $100 and you have a good parlay, you could win like $1,200.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy shit, dude.
Makes your odds way harder.
I'm not gonna lie, my fucking adrenaline just like skyrocketed right now because I feel like I'm getting pretty good at this pick and fight things. So I might end up developing a gambling problem here.
Well, the problem is picking fights is different than winning money on parlays, because if you pick the fighter and they happen to be the favorite, like if you pick five fighters and they're all the favorites,
well, I mean, like,
that's
so
not going to be that great. You got to have at least one underdog in there.
Yeah, that's
or
what I meant.
Two.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So, like, it's trickier than all that, unfortunately. Yeah. But that's why the people who make a lot of money gambling are people who have big money to put up, because they can bet on favorites. Mm-hmm. Like they can bet the money to cover
the
favorites.
Yeah.
And, essentially it's free money in their eyes, right? If they know who,
yeah,
if they know who's gonna win. So
I've only bet on one fight ever. It was my birthday weekend down in Vegas. It was John Jones versus Rashad Evans, and I took Evans. Yeah, I fucked up.
Like, fucked up big time.
But I mean, I think I only put down like $100 or something. Which yeah. You know, he was the underdog. I was like, oh no way, Evans. I don't know why I was sold on him. I don't know.
I made a bunch of money on the Ronda Rousey and Holly Holm fight. That was That was like my big score.
Yeah, that's pretty solid.
But I knew Holly Holm was going to win, so I wasn't too worried about it.
I remember exactly where I was when that fight fucking happened.
Yeah, me too.
I was at the knucklehead fights.
Were at other fights.
Yeah, I was cornering people up at the Salem Armory. And like I remember how big of a deal it was backstage to everyone. It was like, oh my God, Ronda Rousey just got knocked out by Holly Holm, head kick. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty much how, you know, I saw it happening, you know.
Yep.
I didn't think it was going to be a knockout, honestly. I thought she was going to win, though.
Yeah, I knew she was going to knock her out. There was no question in my mind.
Yeah.
But I was way into Holly Holm early on, so.
Yeah, me too.
And I was like too much of a fanboy for her early, but yeah, I saw that coming.
Man, she's had a rough career, huh?
Yeah, I mean, she's had some tough fights, but I think her career overall has been pretty good.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like the UFC, they kind of like used and abused her a little bit.
A little bit.
After that Ronda fight, they're like,
But she kind of fucked herself over, you know? She obviously didn't train submission defense or anything for her Miesha Tate fight. And she was, you know, like a minute and a half away from winning that fight.
Right, yeah.
And your legacy is totally different if you go in and beat Ronda Rousey and then you go and you beat Miesha Tate. Mm-hmm. Like, things are totally different for her at that point.
I just feel like they just kind of, you know, I don't know. I just felt like there were some matchups like after those, after a couple hard losses, like, hey, maybe, you know, let's give her maybe just a winnable fight here.
Yep.
And then you're like, oh, no, here's Cyborg.
Like, yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough. But she's the kind of fighter who wants the hard fight.
And, oh, for sure.
And she's the person who made that big stink about her contract. And she negotiated a hell, like her team negotiated a hell of a deal for her.
Oh, really? I didn't know anything about that.
Yeah, there was like a big contract dispute to get her into the UFC at all. She was like, they wanted her to come in. And she's like, not for that amount of money. Fuck you guys.
Wow.
And so she held out for a super long time. And it was a big point of contention between Dana White and her manager. And Dana White was like, this fucking guy's a lunatic. He's fucking crazy. Nobody's worth that amount of money. Da 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 da. And eventually they brought her in. And then, then she destroyed Dana White's little trophy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure he wasn't too thrilled about that, but whatever. Yeah. I mean,
what are you going to do?
So, yeah, that was that fight I won a good amount of money on. But other than that, I try hard not to bet on fights too much just because, I let emotions get the best in fights and in sports in general. So I try not to do it too much.
I do everything with my heart, even like with fantasy football.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Absolutely. I had Andy Dalton, right? And I was like, they're playing the Steelers. I was
so
like,
you don't pick him.
I had traded him away. I was like, I can't do it.
You traded him or you benched him?
Traded him.
That's ridiculous.
No. Check it. It was okay. Cause the guy that I traded him to, we made a deal, all right? We made a deal. So, like, he's going to get... he gave me this guy named Cote or whatever from Houston who's been killing it as a receiver. Because he has Drew Brees. He just didn't want to drop Brees. So after this week, he's going to drop Dalton on the day that I say to drop him. So I'm going to be able to swoop him back up. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. That's crazy.
I know,
that's
man. I do everything with my heart.
What I do wrong in fantasy football is I'll end up picking a quarterback and then I'll double up on their receiver and I do that too much.
Yeah.
And it's like, next thing I know, I have like the entire Falcons offense.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Can't pass it to everybody. But today it worked out for me. Cause I had what's his name? Matt Ryan.
Oh.
I had their tight end and I had, God damn it. What's the name of it? Julio Jones.
Julio. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did well with that, but whatever. Anyway, fantasy football, not fighting.
Yeah, like we sorry, said guys. Before. Sorry. This isn't the writer and the fucking fantasy football geek.
Yep.
let's get into some Bellator stuff, huh?
Yeah, so like we talked about this last week, Bellator 207 and 208 went down this weekend, and I don't think these cards disappointed at all. I thought they were both really fun, especially the card on Friday was really a fun card for me. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
I think, you know, I really think Bellator's been killing it with their the way they've been matching people up, the way that they've been setting these cards up, even the back-to-back cards. I kind of like that idea. Like, I saw someone else tweet out, they're like, well, why don't they just do one big, like, super card instead of doing back-to-back, you know? I like the back-to-back cards. I think that's kind of cool.
I think it's okay. It's a little bit much for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you know that the UFC doesn't have a card on a Saturday night and you have the opportunity to put a card on a Saturday night, why don't you just put on a really killer card? I mean, I'm kind of in that guy's camp in that way, just because, you know, like, get the focus on that. However, if you're Bellator, people know that Bellator's on Friday, so they kind of gravitate to that, and you don't want people to miss the fight, so I kind of get it. Kinda. Yeah.
I think they're just trying to get just more eyes on their, you know what I mean? I feel like if you have back-to-back events like that, you're more likely to catch a wider span of an audience just in case someone does miss, or, you know, I don't know. I dig it. I like the back-to-back shows.
Yeah, I don't hate it. You know, for me as like a fight nerd, I'm into it, you know, but
yeah.
But it makes for a busy weekend for me. Like, I had a busy weekend already, so it was like, okay, Friday I'm busy, I'll wake up on Saturday morning and watch the card from Friday night, and then Saturday night I was busy, so then I have to wake up early and watch the card from Saturday night because football's on, I gotta, you know, whatever. Like,
good thing we have DVRs, right?
Thank God.
Right? There we go. See?
That's right.
See? Everything's all right.
Yeah, everything is all right in the world, but it does make it tough, especially when you're like in today's society, everything is social media all over the place, and so I can't really open my phone if I'm trying to avoid fight stuff, especially UFC stuff, or especially when there's someone local who's on the card who happens to be like your biggest star locally. So that doesn't help when you have Chael on a show, like for sure people are going to talk about it that you know. So you have to avoid all that. You have to know, kind of just keep your phone aside, which is good and bad, right? Like, it's nice to get a break from your phone, but also it's just hard to remember.
It's hard. Like, you'll forget sometimes, and you're like, ah, shit, I just found it. Yeah. No, I've done that a few times.
Or like, periodically on a UFC card, you'll be like, okay, I'm not going to go to any, I'm not going to go to ESPN, I'm not going to go to MMA Junkie, I'm going to avoid all that shit. Mm-hmm. You open up like Yahoo. You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, like, why is this on here? You know, God damn it, Kevin Ioli. What the fuck, dude? Keep your shit buried somewhere else.
Yeah, it's rough, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do? It's too bad. But so Bellator 207 was a pretty fun card. I'll have to give you mad props because the curtain jerk for that card was Mandel Nalo versus Carrington Banks. And you have been saying since the minute you were supposed to fight Mandel Nalo, when that was in the works, you were saying, dude, this guy is really good. People are not understanding how good this guy is. Yeah. His fight IQ is really high.
Yeah.
And he showed it. So like he showed exactly that in that fight on Friday. Like, he did such a good job of reading that guy.
He is, and he's also a very interesting guy. Like, when I get deep when I research fighters, right? And when I had to look him up, I'm like, oh, this guy's a fucking weirdo. He is. He's a little out there. He's I guess his parents were hippies or something, because it's translated over to him. He's kind of a hippie. I'm pretty sure he loves some psychedelic drugs. Like his Instagram name is Rat Garbage. Like, it's like at Rat Garbage or something. But I mean, you know, he seems like an all right dude, but, you know, he's a Brazilian Jiu Jitsu brown belt. He is a Japanese Jiu Jitsu black belt, which is very interesting.
Yep.
I mean, his strikes there. I mean, he works with Farhas Zahabi or whatever his name is. I can't say
Farhas. You're right.
Farhas. Man, I need to take like speech classes. Because I can't pronounce a lot of words.
It's the names. Both of us are bad at it. We know.
Yeah, man. Like, why do people got to have weird names? Just be, you know, more American. Just kidding.
Well, even American people have weird names. Like, everybody wants to name their kids something unique. And it's just like, dude, why do you got to name your kids something? Like, why do you have to do that?
I don't know.
I just heard today someone named their daughter Emerson.
Emerson.
First of all. Emerson is a last name.
Yeah.
Secondly, it seems a little masculine to me, personally.
Yep.
But they call her Emmy. And it's like, dude, if you wanted to name your kid Emmy, just name your fucking kid Emmy.
I was thinking they were going to go for Emery as a short, you know?
Emery. Yeah, maybe. Emerson. I don't know. But
who are, those are your friends?
No, I don't know. I don't know this. Sarah mentioned this to me today. That she knows someone that this is their kid's name.
I was gonna say, don't be friends with those people. they're making things way too complicated that don't need to be.
My buddy and his wife are expecting a kid, and he's fighting her on all of her name choices because all of her name choices are weird.
Smart man.
Yeah.
Stick to your guns, homie.
Throwing the veto in.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah. Sonalo, man, he's like his fight IQ is there. I mean, he has the ground game. He has the strengthening, the length. I mean, he's a lanky dude, and you know he's fucking good, man.
Yeah, and he's good for sure. So this is a fight you may have if you were cruising through Twitter or through Instagram. You may have seen a clip of this because it's one of the most beautiful just step in knee knockouts you'll ever see.
Just timed beautifully.
It was. He read Carrington Banks mm-hmm. to a fucking T, man. Yep. Like Carrington Banks comes in to throw the left, and the minute he starts to throw the left, Nalo knows that he's going to drop his head. He knows immediately. Yeah. The second he sees that hand move, he didn't even look down. He just whacked through the
stepped
knee.
In,
it was and it was so flush on his chin. Carrington Banks was out cold
before he
even began to fall.
Yeah, it was kind of scary, man. Like his eyes were kind of like open still, and he was like stiff. Just it was definitely a scary knockout.
Yeah,
man.
He was caught in the Matrix for about two seconds.
Yeah,
just
you know, and I'm sure I'm gonna have to eventually fight this fucking guy sooner than later. So that'll be neat. That'll be a fun puzzle to try.
That would be
out.
Fun. Yeah.
I'm just gonna throw those like bolo haymakers at this guy. Just fuck it.
Just don't drop your head.
I mean, I don't know, man. I'm gonna just make it into a fucking brawl, I guess.
Maybe. I don't know. I will say when people tell me that when I hear people say, "Oh, so and so is a Japanese jiu-jitsu black belt."
Yeah.
Here's the thing. There's only been one really notable Japanese jiu-jitsu black belt in mixed martial arts. This is only the second person I've heard anyone even mention. And the first one is former UFC welterweight title challenger Carlos Newton.
Oh, shit.
Carlos Newton was the Japanese jiu-jitsu black belt. And that was like the big thing. And he would talk about it, about how important that was and on the Ronin Carlos Newton, you know.
Wow.
But really, he's mostly known for getting choked out while holding Matt Hughes up against the cage.
And yeah. Like,
I don't know. I just haven't seen it cross over, but maybe it's just because there's not a lot of guys who do Japanese jiu-jitsu.
Well, I've rolled with a Japanese jiu-jitsu guy before, and what I notice about Japanese jiu-jitsu compared to Brazilian jiu-jitsu is I feel like Japanese jiu-jitsu is very more positional, and it's a lot more... I guess more strength dominant. So it's like more of a top game heavy, right?
Mm.
Where Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, I would
like
say
like Sambo or something.
I don't know. I just feel like it's probably, you know, transitions more positional wise as in getting, you know, sticking in position and using, you know, stronger techniques as in like Kimuras and arm bars.
Sure.
And, you know, I think if you have that really sound top game like that, and then you also go, okay, now let me learn Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu where you're more pliable and learning stuff on the ground and you know, being the smaller man to learn, you know.
And where it's been perfected, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I think it's smart. Like, if that was his plan to go, let me do this. Let me go to what Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu started out as. Learn the very basics. Then get to BJJ.
Mm-hmm.
It's smart, man. I mean... I don't know where you go to find it here. Like, I don't know.
Here, I don't think it exists.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, like I said, man, he's an interesting guy.
I feel like if you went to maybe like a judo place, you could maybe run into a dude who knows some Japanese jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like I said, there was a guy that I rolled with once here. He was like, well, at least he claimed to be a Japanese jiu-jitsu black belt. Wasn't very good. But
no, there you go.
Yeah. That's all I think. That's what I took from him. Like, that's what I noticed was he was very just top game active. It was just solid base. That was it.
Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, you know, having a good solid base. But who knows? Who really knows what Nala's ground game's like? Because we haven't really seen it tested just yet. So
he almost had that that Dars too right off the bat in the first round.
He did almost have that Dars.
That Dars, mm-hmm. And then all of his wins before that, most of his wins are by submission.
Yeah, but you're not seeing a lot of them, so it's hard.
No. I was just saying, like in general, like yeah. like when I was watching him before this fight, like that was my main concern, was like, I saw, you know, he likes to throw a lot of kicks. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I have to deal with that to get past his kicks. But I wasn't, I'm still not too concerned with his hands and what he does in striking. Like I see a lot of holes still. I see mm-hmm. some areas where I can exploit. But as far as his grappling goes, it's sick. Like yeah. his grappling game is legit. Like even Fabiano was like, hey, listen, he's like, this guy's ground game very good. I was like, all right, man, cool.
Making right on. Well, he got a good win, and then we had kind of a, I don't know if I'd say it was lackluster, but it wasn't the best fight ever.
Oh, you mean a shit show?
Yeah, Corey Browning and Baby Slice, Kevin Ferguson. Baby Slice went out and just blew his wad and just tried to be Captain Crazy Guy, super explosive guy.
I just don't think he's good.
Didn't work out for him.
He just is not good. He doesn't know what he's doing. There's a lot of positions he was in that he just seemed lost.
Yeah.
He's very amateur still.
That's the problem, right? He didn't have any sort of extensive amateur game to build on. He was clearly rushed into to where he is, rushed into the sport. Mm-hmm. The whole thing didn't. Yeah. There's a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things. And yeah. I don't care like how good of an athlete you are. Mixed martial arts does not discriminate.
No.
You know, like if someone knows what to do, they know what to do. And there's a reason that a guy like Roy Nelson mm-hmm. can look like a big fat guy, but beat the shit out of most people who are big, crazy athletes. Right. Like,
you know what I think is funny is I was actually talking to my girlfriend about this is when I normally see like a super buff guy, in like a, you know, just a normal body looking dad bod, you know, maybe someone who looks like they kind of work out, I tend to lean towards the less physical specimen, because those guys who have all those muscles and stuff, they're doing like these workouts that really don't translate over to MMA.
Not at all.
You know, and I my favorite thing to say is, you know, you got all that buffness for nothing. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what happened. Like I commented on fucking Bellator's post because when I saw this kid, I was like, oh fuck. Like you guys are just giving Kimbo Slice wins. I was like, just give him the fucking trophy already. Well, that didn't age well. So
yeah, but that's not to say Corey Browning looked like spectacular, and it's not to say that the stoppage wasn't like kind of questionable. How wimpy were those punches that kid was throwing, and the ref came in and stopped it. Like you know what, man? Like I get it, protect the fighter, but also if you're Corey Browning, bro, your job is to try to finish this guy. Like your job is to try to best this person, and I get it, you did a good job, it was notable, you got the win, but man, you didn't look that great doing it, and your punches did not look that hard. I just feel like most people in that position are gonna try to get out of there, and really most referees are not gonna stop that fight.
Do you want to know a fun fact?
Sure.
After that fight was over, baby Spice, he was carried out on a stretcher.
No.
Yeah, dude. Swear on everything.
Because he was exhausted?
I don't know. But it was on, I want to say it was Sports Center. I'll show you. It's
I believe you.
Yeah, there was a video, him on a stretcher getting carried out of the cage. So I don't know. I'm lost for words, honestly. Like,
am I crazy though, then, that those punches didn't look that intense?
No. You're 100. I'm with you 100%. Homeboy Corey Browning looks like he shits Cheetos and pisses Mountain Dew. You know what I'm saying? And
you're saying he should be playing D&D with me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he probably does. Like, it looks like straight up, he took a break from Fortnite, showed up to go do this fight, and then fucking, you know, beat the shit out of this guy. Like, I mean, I don't know. Rumor is Bellator might be signing this kid now to like a multi-fight deal. We'll see what's next for him. We don't know. Interesting, right?
Yeah, we'll
see. Very interesting.
You know, whatever. I mean, the kid has some skills. I'm not saying he's completely worthless. And
his stepdad's a black belt in jiu-jitsu.
There you go.
I mean, they said that during the broadcast. I don't know how worthy of that information is.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe he did a lot of jiu-jitsu with his stepdad. I don't know. Whatever. Wasn't that great of a fight. But anyway, there was the next fight on that card was Lawrence Larkin, and he took on a late replacement. I don't know how to say the guy's first name. Is it Ion Pascal?
Yeah, he's the big, he was a Russian, right?
Yeah. And he was a big dude. He was pretty scary looking, but Lawrence Larkin kind of just
used his speed, great footwork.
Yep.
It was classic Lawrence Larkin. Like, that's the type of Lawrence Larkin that I think he compete with most of the welterweights in that tournament.
I think he fights with most of the top welterweights on the planet when he fights his best fight.
Yeah.
But
sharp, very good.
You know, sometimes he gets a little loose, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's what happened when he fought when he got knocked out by what's his name?
Paul Daly?
Yeah, Paul Daly. Yeah. You know, you're going to get a little loose. Well, Paul Daly is an accurate striker and he has knockout power.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's not going to do you any good.
I heard that Lorenz Larkin used to fight at heavyweight at one point.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
It's crazy to think.
Well, if BJ Penn can fight at heavyweight, Lawrence Larkin can fight at heavyweight.
Oh, fuck. I forgot about that. Oh, man. That's right. He fought Machida.
Yeah.
To a decision.
Yeah.
God damn.
Right?
That's crazy.
Back when BJ Penn was the shit.
BJ Penn's
before he was shitty.
Well, he's old.
Yeah. Yeah.
Age. Age happens, man.
That's not the... Yeah. Yeah. Age happen. Other things happen. You know how I feel. I'm hurt for how things
have... Well, your boy's back. You know, he's going to have a good match. I'm not even going
to watch.
You're not?
Nah,
I think it's a winnable fight.
I thought many of his last fights were winnable fights, and, you know, it's tough for me, man. I just, like I said before, I get too emotionally attached.
No, I get it.
And I don't want to watch BJ fight anymore. So this next fight, I'm going to let it happen, and if he wins, then I'll go watch the fight. You know what I mean? But if he loses, if it's like, oh, man, BJ Penn destroyed in round one.
Has he ever been submitted?
Because
that's the only way this guy can win, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to look it up. I can't recall off the top of my head. So the co-main event at Bellator 207 was a really fun fight. Sergey Karatanov and Roy Nelson.
That was my favorite fight of the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, that was a pretty great one, right?
Dude, it was fun. It was a fun fight.
It just shows you that there's a different level outside of mixed martial arts for striking. Mm-hmm. So when a guy like Sergey Karatanov comes in and he has that K1 level kickboxing, you know, he can box.
Yeah.
You know, like he can box, and when he throws a jab, it's a devastating tool.
Dude,
like,
the sound of air, every punch landing, it was just a thud, like just a jab, thud, thud. Mm-hmm. And he was targeting that eye over and over again. It was a masterful performance.
Yeah, man. Yeah, he looked kind of unbeatable, like, you know, at least for that specific fight.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like if they fight 10 times, there's no way Roy Nelson wins even one of them.
He was stopping all Roy's takedown defenses. He knew when that right hand was coming, just gliding out of the way, and then pop shot and pop, pop, pop. I mean, of course, you know, there was the illegal knees, right? But I don't think they were that bad. I think Roy definitely played it up.
I've seen worse.
Yeah. Worse acting, or
I've seen an illegal knee be way worse, but that dude, that was about as illegal as it gets.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But when Roy Nelson gets hit and then he backs away and then he pauses and then flops over on his back. Like, if you didn't watch the fight, Roy Nelson has a knee down, two hands down, and Karatanov knees him square right in the front of the forehead. Yeah. Like, it was very illegal.
Yeah,
but Roy Nelson hammed it up a little bit.
Oh, for sure.
But I will say, to his credit, he was like, yeah, I'll keep fighting. Because if that was CB Dolloway, he wouldn't have.
That's true.
You know what I mean? So there's going to be other fighters who are going to be like, nope, I can't continue.
Yeah.
I'll take the W via disqualification. Right. Thank you very much.
Which is, you know, I was surprised he didn't try to take longer of time. But he was yelling, or not yelling at the ref, but he was like talking to the ref. He's like, there was two illegal knees. There was two. You know, trying to get an extra point. Like, he did get deducted 1 point, right?
He did get deducted a point.
Yeah.
And rightfully so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not that it really mattered. You know, it didn't really make a difference. But man, the stoppage comes as late as humanly possible.
Yeah, like there's what, one second
left.
Yeah.
So damn. That was pretty exciting. But man,
that was great.
The tight the tight punches, the punches in close that don't have wasted movement. You know what I mean? Those are the ones that you're just, God,
those uppercuts.
Damn, that, that's what I'm saying. And it wasn't like one of these, it wasn't like one of these Mike Tyson punch out uppercuts. Like, it wasn't one of these just big crazy, like, I mean, there was no wasted movement at all. It was,
you're just,
it was
picking
perfect.
His shots.
Bah.
He'd throw a couple just light right at top, right at the face to keep him honest. Like right underneath, break that guard. I mean, it's impressive because if you think about it, Roy Nelson has only been finished by Andre Arlovski back at Elite XC, which is kind of a, might have been a bullshit stoppage, right?
Close. I think it was Andre Arlovski.
What did I say?
Andre Arlovski.
Dude, it's CTE sitting in.
That's got to be it. That was bad even for you, bro.
Andre. What's his name again?
Andre.
Andre
Arlovski.
For some reason, I want to throw like a U into his name.
Arlovski?
No, into the Andre. Like, I don't know. Anyways, Andre Arlovski.
Mark Hunt.
Mark Hunt. Yeah, there you go. And then Kurtanov.
Yeah.
So it's very impressive. I mean, you know, not many people can say that they've done it. He's fought the who's who too.
Yeah, dude. He can take a punch.
Right.
I feel like. Like in the, if you gave out belts for who takes the best punch on the planet, he's in the conversation.
Yeah, between him and probably him and Hunt, right?
Yeah, Mark Hunt.
He's been knocked out.
Knocked out a few times though.
You know who I'm gonna give it to? Alistair Overeem, greatest chin of all time. See, that's my heartbreak fighter to watch.
Yeah,
like yours is BJ
Penn.
That's
hard for me too, man. Those ones hurt me too. The worst fight for me of his was the Travis Brown fight. I was just like, man, how do you not stop that goddamn fight?
Bigfoot Silva was mine.
Yeah, that was a rough one too.
Because I was making jokes before that fight. I was like, if Bigfoot Silva pulls off this win, they're going to make a movie about it. I was literally like gloating before the card, like, that's some Miracle on Ice shit. And then next thing you know, this motherfucker knocks him out. And I'm just, I was heartbroken.
Yeah, man.
That was kind of when I was like, all right, well, I need to settle down about my fucking Alistair Overeem train here and talk about he's the greatest heavyweight of all time.
Yeah, you know, I once saw Alistair Overeem, like, when he was having his fight against Vitor Belfort.
Yeah.
Did I tell you this? For I saw him, like, I was working at this place that was right in downtown San Jose.
Yeah.
And we had a loading dock that shared the back area with the hotel he was at. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, I was like this close to talking shit to him because I was such a big Vitor fan at the time.
Oh, really?
And then he goes on to beat Vitor. So
I'm glad guillotine him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was just funny because I see him and I'm like, oh, man, that's Alistair Overeem. I should say something. I should talk some shit. I wanted to be like, Vitor's going to whoop your ass, bro.
Yeah. He still owes me a shirt. So
yeah. Well,
yeah.
Hook my dude up, Alistair.
Yeah, you hook me up with a shirt and maybe you won't fucking get knocked out anymore. It's called karma, dude.
Yeah, karma's the real thing.
Motherfucker.
Then that leads us to the main event. Ryan Darth Bader, Matt Meathead Mitrione.
Matt lay on the mat Mitrione.
Yeah.
Redundant.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot for picking Mitrione. For some reason, I just really thought, I'm like, you know, he's a big, agile, strong guy, right? And I was like, he's playing the NFL. I was thinking he was just going to have too much strength and be able to, the stuff to take down enough to where he's going to be able to peel him off.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as it hit the ground, it was just like, I didn't train any of this. Like, I don't think he landed a punch.
Look, he knew he had one way to win that fight, and it was by knockout.
Yeah.
He didn't give a shit about anything else. Like,
fucking man.
Ryan Bader is the most well-rounded person in this tournament, and he's going to win.
He's the most well-rounded person? I don't know. Well-rounded?
Yeah.
Over Fedor?
Yeah.
Well-rounded?
Fedor is not as good a wrestler as Ryan Bader.
He's not, but his jiu-jitsu is better than Bader's.
His sambo is better than Bader's jiu-jitsu. But I feel like that's Fedor's thing, right?
Well, he's got, you know, arm bars and
yeah, but that's part of sambo.
Is it?
Yeah,
I don't. Yeah. To me, it's all like fucking jiu-jitsu.
Look, well, sambo's got more judo in it than jiu-jitsu does.
Uh-huh.
So more throws and more more of these hip tosses and stuff. So he does have that going for him.
Okay, when I say I meant submissions.
Point, Okay.
That's what I just meant.
Yeah, yeah. He's got good submissions. But I think in total, I think Ryan Bader is the most well-rounded guy in this tournament. He has submissions. He's submitted people. He's got good hands. His chin is not great, but he's got good hands. People don't give him enough credit for his boxing, and his wrestling is really fucking good.
No, his wrestling is legit, yeah.
You know, I'm not saying he's going to go in there and dominate Fedor, because that wasn't my pick to win that fight. So this is kind of throwing me off a little bit. But Bader looked good.
No, he does. Man. I think he is. I would say I would pick Bader to win this tournament. But I feel like well-rounded. Like I think Fedor has enough, I guess, sambo, mm-hmm. you know, to obviously nullify some takedowns.
Mm-hmm.
His cardio is shit, but it's gonna be an interesting first round. Let's just say that it's gonna be an interesting first round.
And actually, if we're going back to the start of the tournament, you know who's a really well-rounded fighter just doesn't have it anymore.
Frank Mir. Yeah.
You know, his wrestling's not great, but he's got incredible jiu-jitsu. His striking is pretty good. Like, he's super fucking strong. Mm-hmm. He's a natural heavyweight.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but there's another one who breaks my heart.
Frank Mir.
Yeah.
But, dude, I'm assuming you kind of just like fast forward through the fights this morning, right? So you can see the back and forth banner between like Josh Thompson and Frank Mir.
No, I've been skipping all of that.
Like, is it
funny?
To me, like me and my girlfriend were watching it, and like it just seemed like everything Josh Thompson was saying was just kind of like irking Frank Mir a little bit, because it was all about, you know, how great Fedor is and da da da, and then he's in like, it was almost, you know, I mean, Frank Mir got knocked out by Fedor, right? So like when Josh Thompson is like, yeah, you know, right? Like, you know how good Fedor, like it's kind of like. And like Frank just kind of like looks at him like he's not laughing like at his jokes and shit that he's making and all, you know, it was just kind of funny. Like, I just feel like Josh Thompson is kind of a, I don't know, man. I don't think he's very good on the mic.
No, he's
just,
not.
It was very annoying.
He's not. And Frank Mir, he is good. So I can see it bothering him.
Yeah. He was very professional. And then Josh Thompson was just a fanboy over Fedor the whole time. It's fucking stupid.
Yeah, Josh Thompson knows what Bellator wants, and they want you to put over Fedor. Like, clearly.
But this was before the fight even happened.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. They want you to put over Fedor all the time, constantly, no matter what.
It's true.
You know? Like, they love Fedor.
Yeah.
That's their... Fedor's their Conor McGregor
at this point. Huh?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Totally.
I would think more... I would think they would want to back Chael a little bit more than Fedor.
You would think, but Fedor has the championship history, and he has so much appeal in Russia that, you know, that carryover is there, you know? That international carryover matters. You've seen it. This is why Khabib and Conor are such a big deal, right?
Yeah.
Like,
it'd be interesting to see if they go over to Russia at some point.
Oh, man, I would love that. I would love to see that.
That'd be cool.
Although, like, if you're worried about something happening, right? Like, man, you can't keep your fighter in the cage in America, and now you have a whole arena full of angry people. Like, I don't know, man. I would be nervous if I were Conor McGregor going over to Russia fighting.
No, I was talking about Bellator's Fedor. Oh.
Yes, yeah. That would be interesting.
Yeah. No. If Conor goes to Russia, he's getting shot.
Right.
Putin's putting a hit on him, or his shit's getting poisoned. Like, he better have everything just vacuum sealed up, because they're going to wiretap your room. They're going to be like shooting. So, like, you're going to go take a shit in your toilet and something's going to pop up and like shoot you in the asshole, poison your ass.
There's going to be snakes on his plane.
Yeah, right. But so I guess, Bader's on to the final. So
Bader on to the final. Well, that moves us into Saturday's Bellator 208 card. This card had some all right fights, but I just didn't feel quite as I don't know. I got way more out of the other card in total.
Yeah, I feel like
this card on paper looked really good. I was excited about it. I just, that last one just really worked out for me.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Like there wasn't as many big names, I guess, on that one, but there were better fights. There were like more exciting fights.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I thought the curtain jerk was Henry Corrales versus Andy Main. And before we say anything, let's give Henry Corrales the, like, you win the best nickname award of the weekend.
Okay.
Henry OK Corral-less? Like the OK Corral?
Oh.
Do you not get
I didn't get that.
You didn't get it?
No, I was just like, okay. Like what? Like are you just saying you're okay?
No, like the OK Corral, you know? Okay. Like Wyatt Earp and shit. No?
Yeah, didn't get it. Well, cool. Did
clearly,
not, did
clearly
not get it.
I'm wrong, but...
No, I that makes sense now. I just never, I didn't put two and two together.
That's almost as good as Tyler the Water Bongfelt.
What? What?
Yeah. This guy, he fought for the UFC one time. He had a fight just a couple weeks ago, but his last name is Bongfelt, and his nickname was The Water. So it was like Tyler the Water Bongfelt, which was, I thought was... That's pretty solid.
That's pretty cool.
I can love a good nickname.
Yeah, man.
And you know, like the nickname OK, like people in the gym would just call you OK. It would just be like, name was JD. Like, hey, that's JD. And that's OK over there. Like, oh, yeah. What's up, OK?
No, that's cool. I mean, yeah, I had no idea. I didn't put two and two together.
But
again, CTE.
He fought Andy Main. It was an all right fight.
Yeah, I mean, it was technical.
It was technical. But I don't understand why Andy Main was like, so convinced he needed to stand up with homeboy the whole time. Like he went for two takedowns. One he got, one he failed. Mm-hmm. And like, man, he's supposed to be really good at jiu-jitsu and you're getting eaten alive on the feet, man. Like,
well, I mean, the one takedown that he had, homeboy just popped back up. So like maybe he thought like, fuck, maybe I can't get him down. I mean, who knows?
I don't know, man. But
I feel like he was doing okay the first round. Like the first round I had him kind of outscoring Corrales. And then it was just, but you can tell there was a shift towards the end of that round. And then, you know, so maybe he was thinking like, maybe, you know, I'm touching him, I'm using my length, da, da, da. But it was not the most exciting fight. I mean, it was definitely really technical. It was very, I thought it was pretty even matched.
I mean, it was a good fight. Don't get me wrong. Like, it was a good fight. It just felt weird. Mm-hmm. It felt like at some point, Andy May needed to do something different to change the outcome of the fight. And he just kept doing the same thing. Yeah. And Corrales was landing brutal inside leg kicks over and over again.
Yeah.
That was taking so much out of Main. And Corrales, to his credit, took some good shots because he got hit quite a few times that snapped his head back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Corrales looks like he could be very good. But if he decides he's going to take a step up in competition and doesn't move his head when he's coming in on these strikes, he's going to get knocked out quick by the first person with power that comes in against him. Cause he let himself get hit way more than he should have in that fight. But, Corrales gets the win by KO.
Yeah, man, that was a beautiful right hand left hook combo that he landed. It was flush. And like Main was just, he was just fell to his all fours and just froze.
Yeah.
Like a good second and a half, and then, you know, got clipped, followed up.
The ref should have stopped it right there. Shouldn't have even let him take another shot.
Yeah.
It was, and just before that, he got rocked, and it was the same thing. When he got rocked, he was like kind of staggered. It was the same thing that he happened to be on his. What the fuck was that?
You want to go check?
Yeah. Anyway, probably should have stopped that fight sooner. But good fight. It was pretty entertaining. It just.
Yeah.
Felt like
no, I got you.
You know, like maybe the two guys are like they're good fighters, but as soon as they go take a step up, it's gonna not be good for them.
You think so, huh?
Well, I mean, Corrales that he already had, and he had losses immediately, right? So they were talking about that in the fight.
Yeah, but he took like a short notice fight against was it one of the Pitbulls?
Yeah, I think it was one of the Pitbull brothers. So
you know, I mean, he's on a 4-fight win streak right now. He switched over to the lab. So, it'll be interesting to see what happens with him, right?
Yeah, totally. And then you had Alexander Shlemenko fighting, here's the one we'll butcher, Anatoly Tokov. No, that's good. Yeah. Anatoly Tokov. Tokov is one of Fedor's guys from Team Fedor.
Looks like he's on every juice in the goddamn world.
Yeah, dude, he was...
shredded.
Looked pretty good getting off the bus, that one.
And Shlemenko, he got popped for being on the juice, so he wasn't on anything, so he looked like a fucking saggy body out there.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know?
He did not look...
He didn't look the same
as he did when he fought Gegard, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, he wasn't the same. You can tell there's definitely a difference there.
Mm-hmm.
Something's... I don't want to say, you know, anything, but
maybe all those fights are finally catching up to him, man. I mean, the dude has like 70 fights.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, it was, again, it was kind of like the same thing as the Corrales fight. It was, I guess, competitive, but it wasn't mm-hmm. the most exciting. But, you know, this, I feel like that's kind of what you expect when you get kind of evenly matched fights like this, where they're going to be like that. Like a lot of the UFC fights, they're kind of like this, kind of lackluster mm-hmm. in a sense, because each guy is pretty good. It's very technical. Mm-hmm. I think that's just what you kind of expect. Like when you get up to those higher levels, it's not going to just be these barn burners every time, you know?
Yeah, of course not. My big problem with this fight, so Alexander Shlemenko loses this one 30-27 on all cards.
Yeah.
My biggest thing is just that it just felt like he didn't have any other recourse. Mm-hmm. Like when it wasn't going the way he wanted it to go, he didn't have anything else he could do.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't willing to shoot for a takedown.
Yeah.
Like
tried a couple throws, but yeah, they all got stuffed.
Yeah, exactly. And so I just felt like maybe that performance against Gegard was like his mm-hmm. best fight, you mm-hmm. know. And it's not gonna ever look that way because he didn't get the W, even though some people feel like he should have.
Yeah,
like maybe that's what it is for him, you know. Even though he did have the Bellator title for however long, and
yeah,
you know,
he was
whatever.
A killer there for a minute, man.
Yeah, I just feel like his best days are behind him.
How old he is?
He is
like 35, right?
34.
34, okay.
34, but like I said, man, he's got 69 fights.
Yeah.
And his thing is, like, when he wins by knockout, you know? Like, that's like kind of his thing. He's got 31 knockouts. It's not like he has a lot of transitional skills, you know what I mean? Like it just doesn't seem to be changing for him at all. And if you're going to be the same fighter 70 fights into your career, like people are going to know how to beat you. And
yeah, true. You know, I mean, I get what you're saying for sure.
You know, but he's done a good job as a trainer.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that's notable that people kind of overlook. Andrei Korshkov is like one of his pupils.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I saw him in the corner. And I just figured they were teammates. I didn't know that he was a coach or a trainer. Mm-hmm. That's neat.
So I hope that he sticks with that and kind of backs away from, you know, being in the cage as much because, you know.
He had a 2-year suspension, no? Or how long
it was supposed to be even longer initially. So, yeah. But yeah, he did have a good little layoff there, but I still feel like his better days are behind him. I mean, I'm never going to tell someone like they should retire, mm-hmm. but I like when I see a fighter transition into a coaching role when they're successful at it. And obviously Korshkov learned a lot from him and developed and has had a pretty decent career to this point. You know, but now we're at that point in Korshkov's career where he's going to need to try to find some transitions and figure a few things out.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. But if we're talking about fighters who need to try to do things differently, that leads us directly into the co-main event. We have Benson Henderson and Syed Awad. And Ben Henderson is one of those guys who started to feel stale mm-hmm. towards the end of his UFC run. And he decided he was going to start doing things a little bit differently. And it took him a little while to figure out exactly what he should be doing. But it feels like after this fight with Syed Awad, like the old Benson Henderson is back, the like well-rounded Benson Henderson who will take you down, who will try to stand with you, who will do clinch work, mm-hmm. who will go for submissions. It feels like that guy's back.
And a little dirtiness in there. He was holding the cage at one point. He held his inside of his gloves.
Yeah. There's
a lot.
The ref pulls him off at one point, stands him up and says, dude, you can't hold the guy against the cage by, you know, holding onto the cage. His eyes got about wide, as big as silver dollars. Like, I wasn't holding the cage. What are you talking about?
Watch the replay. Look at the replay. It's like, then the replay shows like, yeah, motherfucker, you're holding the cage.
I believe that he genuinely believes he wasn't.
Yeah, maybe his fingers were just through it. Like he wasn't, you know.
Yeah. He's not maliciously doing it. Doesn't seem like the type of guy.
But then you go to the other replay when he has Syed's back and he actually has inside of his gloves, you know, mm-hmm. which is a big no. And then, you know, I feel like what happened, like after that incident happened in the first round, it was kind of like Syed Awad just went, he got too emotional. He was pissed off about that, you know, and like there was even a point, like it was a weird thing, like Benson like threw a kick and then there was a kind of like a pause and Awad just stand there and he did any screams. Ah! And then they like start fighting again. It's like, oh, all right. Well, he was just pissed off, you know, and I feel like that kind of got away from him. Like, you know, he wasn't being as technical anymore. He wasn't, but it was a good scrap. I mean, I think, you know, he put up a really good fight against him. I mean, it's a big step up in competition too. So to show that, like, hey, you know, I do belong with these upper echelon guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think anyone who knows Syed Awad's, you know, career, anyone who's watched his fights knows that he's a top tier talent.
Yeah.
But
a lot of fights too.
Yeah, a lot of fights. Yeah, for sure, a lot of fights. But I will say the one thing that Benson Henderson did in this fight was he made sure that he controlled the position everywhere in this fight. Even when he started to, if Awad would get off on a shot, Benson was like, "All right, we're not going to let that happen," and he would change the position of the fight immediately. And I really appreciate that about him. Even though sometimes he gets a little bit like loosey goosey, at one point he takes Syed Awad's back and he's going to put a hook in, and I don't know if this is something that he does specifically when he's doing jiu-jitsu or if it's just he's excited, but it was almost like he was trying to trap Awad's arm when he was putting the hook in. But he ends up with his leg over Syed Awad's shoulder, and you can't. That's not how you're going to maintain back control.
Yeah.
Like you're so high up that his shoulder is under your leg. Mm-hmm. Like you're gonna get reversed every time, and that kind of bothered me because I was just like, dude, you're dominating this position. Throw knees to the body or put your hooks in.
Yeah.
But why are you going to just sloppily step over and get reversed? Why even let that happen?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard to say. Like, everyone has like these little tricks that they like to try that they get in, maybe in the gym. Like maybe that's something he's able to land because that is, you know, it's a good technique to try to trap that arm. Like I see what he's trying to do. But yeah, it was. I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, who knows? Like, maybe while he was just trying to put in the hook, Awad, you know, gets that elbow in and just happened to be there. Who knows? I don't know. You know, I'm not going to be too critical about it just because, you know, I mean, who am I to talk about that?
Of course. But I've seen him do it before.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's something I've seen him do, and that just bothers me.
The thing that I was most impressed with is during the takedown transitions is the scrambling. That's where he won the fight. Yeah. It was Awad would counter his takedown, but then he wouldn't have anything after that. Mm-hmm. It was just Benson was so relentless with it. It was just put on this grind that Awad just, you know, he doesn't have that wrestler just action, reaction, reaction. So, you know, that's where he started to take over was with that. So, I mean, he hurt him a few times too with these kicks to the body. I don't know why he didn't throw him more. Like Benson? the very first kick that he throws at Awad in the first round, Awad winces.
Like, it was the first strike of the whole fight.
Yeah, you see it noticeably. Just like he eats it and he makes a face. I would have been fucking just like, oh, I'm throwing this all night. Like, you know, it was a good fight, man. You know, I'm interested to see what happens. Now we kind of have like a little bit of a logjam now at 155. I mean, you got is it Patrick? No, Patrick is the featherweight, right?
No,
I don't know. It's Pitbull. The 155 Pitbull.
Just say Little Pitbull and Big Pitbull. It's fine. Yeah. We all get it. All
right, we're going Big Doggy. We got Big Doggy versus we got Big Doggy up there clamoring for his title shot. Then you have Benson Henderson still up there, and then now we just had the Brent Primus versus Chandler 2 announced for December 14th out in Hawaii. So there's a little bit of a logjam there. I mean, Benson already beat Pitbull in a split decision. And also Benson has lost to Chandler, and it gets a little murky there. So it's kind of like, what are we going to do?
Yeah. You know? Those are all fights though. People would be willing to watch. I mean, anyone's going to be fine with watching Benson Chandler too. Like that's a fight people would want to see. You definitely would want to see Benson and Brent fight. I think a lot of people would want to see that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can just spin the wheel as far as I'm concerned with those guys. I mean, I'll watch any of the matchups between those fighters. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'm just interested in how they're going to do it. Maybe they do a rematch with Benson and Pitbull to see who gets the title shot, or maybe they do like a thing like if Brent wins, then they go Benson Brent. If Chandler wins, maybe they, you know, I don't know. It's hard to say because Chandler already knocked out Pitbull, and then there was a close fight. It wasn't even close, actually. I think Chandler dominated Benson, right?
Um, I'd have to go back.
He rainbowed him at one point.
Yes,
back
he
to
did.
Back. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, he fucked Benson.
But
up.
Like I said, I feel like this is a different Benson. I feel like he's finally settled in. It's taken him a little while with Bellator for some reason to really settle in, but we'll see what happens. And then you always have that question mark. It does sound like he's going to sign with 1FC, but there's always that Eddie Who? Alvarez question.
Who is?
Eddie Alvarez.
He already signed.
Did he sign with them?
Yeah.
I thought it wasn't a done deal yet.
I read that it was done.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah. Never mind.
Yeah, he's already there. And then they're already talking about having Eddie and Ben Askren do a catchweight fight at 165. Stupid. I
bet
I don't want to see
all
that.
Of the money on Ben Askren.
Yeah, I mean, if he can make the weight.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, one doesn't have that weight thing, uh-huh. And, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that'd be, I don't know.
That's a stupid fight.
Yeah, I mean, Eddie, just fight, just beat up some Asians, get your money, and then sell off to the sunset, homie.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Call it a day. You won that UFC title. It's all you ever really wanted.
You've done it all, man.
Yep.
You know, I get he wants to, you know, get the one belt, which, you know, that would be a cherry on top. He's won a major belt in every promotion, right?
Mm-hmm.
But did he ever fight in Pride?
No.
Okay.
He didn't fight for Pride, but he had the Bellator, UFC. He didn't have a Strikeforce belt, did he? No. So just Bellator, like, UFC, fights? And Dream. Didn't he have a Dream belt?
I don't know. I have no
idea. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
He's Eddie Alvarez. He's good. People love him. I'll always watch him fight, but I'd like to see him. I would have liked to see him go back to Bellator. That would have been more fun.
I would have liked that too.
But whatever.
That would have been cool.
I really can't win them all.
Well, there's rumors of a cross promotion.
Yeah.
That might be taking
place. That could happen.
So we'll see.
That could happen. All right. But now the big elephant in the room, Fedor Emelianenko versus your buddy, Chael P. Sonnen.
P stands for icon. yeah.
Chael not looking hot in this one. Big ups to him. He went in there and tried to do his thing. Clearly Fedor too strong for Chael.
That I think that was the biggest telling point, is there is a difference. Like, even though there was only a nine pound weight difference, Fedor's just, it was a little strong. I mean, hey man, hats off to Chael though. He's got a hell of a chin. He ate some shots.
And, dude, that first combination,
right?
Whoa.
I got fucking real nervous.
Yeah.
Real quick. My butthole puckered up so tight.
Yeah.
yeah.
Man. The other thing is Fedor's still fast, man.
He is.
He's still goddamn fast.
You know, I thought that Chael was going to be able to deal with his speed a little bit. I mean, you know, he trains with lighter guys. I mean, not to brag about myself, but I like to think I'm a pretty quick guy. And I thought maybe that would help him a little bit with, me and him doing a lot of our stand up together. But, I wasn't that a part of his camp this time due to injury. But, it just seemed like whenever Chael got to where he wanted to be, it was just Fedor was just a little too strong. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't hold position.
Nope, couldn't hold position. And if you're Chael Sonnen and you get Fedor on the ground and you're in half guard, you're literally in the exact position that you want to be in. Mm-hmm. And you get reversed, like, that's not good. And when you get mount and you get reversed,
that's
not good.
Yep,
like that's not what you want to see. And Chael, at one point Chael had he had like a back ride on Fedor, and instead of putting his hooks in, he decided to try to snap him over. And
that was the beginning of the end.
And that looked bad, right? Like, so for people who don't know, like, you know, like for the layman watching the fight, mm-hmm. that looked like just some ridiculous somersault.
Yeah.
But I'm sure in training, mm-hmm. Chael uses that and flips people over all the fucking time. Yeah. Otherwise, he probably wouldn't have tried it.
You know, that's the one knock I will have on Chael, is I feel like he takes unnecessary risks sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, the old Chael, when he has your back, what he likes to do, he doesn't even like to put in his hooks. He will go hip to hip, hold on a cross body on your waist, and he'll just sit there and punch you from the side until you turn over to your back. Right?
Kind of what I expected him to
do. That's what I did. It thought too. And then he went for that. I was like, oh, why? Like, why? Like, go back to the Tito fight. He had Tito down, right? He had this takedown. Let me pull guard and try to get a guillotine on you. It's like, why? Mm-hmm. You have these positions where you know you're good at. Just fucking,
mm-hmm.
go classic. But, he's trying to... The thing that a lot of people don't know about Chael is he's always trying to learn and actually evolve his game. Even though, his game plan is normally the same. He's going to go out there, take it down.
Of course.
But, He's constantly working on new striking techniques. He likes that weird sidekick to the knee. Mm-hmm. He's always working on different submissions. I mean, he went for a couple leg locks, mm-hmm. that of course Fedor just, you know, pulled out of really easy.
Yeah.
But you know, he is trying to evolve his game and just, yeah, man, I just wish, you know, he didn't take that unnecessary risk.
Yeah, yeah. I just expected that Fedor, I don't know why, but I believed Fedor would not be as fast as he was, mm-hmm. and I thought Chael would be able to get him down, and when he got him down, I thought he'd be able to keep him in that position.
Same.
And Fedor was stronger and still faster than I gave him credit for.
Yep, same.
But it's just because in some of his other fights, he's looked a little more pedestrian, mm-hmm. and maybe he was just more ready for this one, or maybe it was Chael. I don't know,
yeah.
But it didn't go so well for him, so I was wrong in one of my brackets. So yeah, it'll be Fedor and Ryan Bader.
Yeah,
I
guess I was wrong on two.
But I'll see what. Yeah, I don't know who I think's gonna win.
I got Bader.
You got Bader. I mean, Bader was my pick to win it all. I still feel like he's the most well rounded, and I feel like his youth is going to help him in this one, but.
Cardio.
Fedor looks so good.
That's the thing.
It makes me nervous because Fedor always has that chance to beat you, man.
Bader does not have a good chin either.
No, he sure doesn't. And Fedor is good at hitting people.
But Fedor's chin is gone too, and Bader does have that right hand.
He does. So I'm gonna hold.
Yeah.
I'm gonna hold on judgment to this point, but
I hope Fedor wins.
You hope Fedor wins.
I do. I don't want Bader to be the light heavyweight champion and the heavyweight champion. That seems boring to me.
Yeah, maybe that's a little dumb.
And then I would like to see Fedor versus Karatanov. Yeah, that dude.
I would watch that.
That'd be dope.
I would like to see...
Pride never dies.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, somebody's got to fight Chet Kongo eventually. 7-fight win streak. Yep, look like a savage. We totally skipped over that fight. Yeah, Chet Kongo beats the shit out of Tim Johnson.
Yeah. So it was not much to talk about there.
Didn't take very long.
Just clipped him behind the ear. I picked Tim Johnson to win that, didn't
we? We both did. Yeah, and Tim Johnson and his mustache did not do the trick. And Chet Kongo just suddenly looked like old Chet Kongo, just
crazy
killing people.
He's fucking 43, had no idea. Fucking black don't crack. Just clipped him like it was like kind of ear temple-ish area.
Yeah, well, and he had his entire giant shin right over his throat as he did it, so that was kind of terrifying.
Yeah,
no, that wasn't good for Tim Johnson. But
yeah, it was a good stop.
Somebody's gonna have to stop Chet Kongo. 7 fights in a row. You can't deny that.
I mean, just like pops up out of nowhere, and he's like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, just hanging out in France doing his thing.
Chet Kongo gets knocked out by Fedor, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe to do Chet Kongo versus Roy Nelson too.
No. If Roy Nelson off a loss,
Chet
Kongo. They need to give Chet Kongo either the winner of this or the loser of this, right?
I would like to see. Well, or maybe Karatanov and Kongo should fight on the January 26th card.
Yeah, fight to see who's gonna fight.
Yeah.
The winner. Yeah, that would be fun. I'd watch that.
I think that'd be a good idea.
Yeah, that's a good idea. We're geniuses. Bellator, call us. We'll give you that
and
one for
then,
free.
Then after Fedor wins against Bader, even though I picked Bader to win, I'm gonna say this just as for fun, and then you have Gegard move up and fight Bader. And I know you're not excited about that, but I think that's a good fight.
I withhold comment on that one.
Oh, I mean, I don't know who else Gegard could fight at middleweight.
Anybody?
Machida?
Sure.
Again.
Yeah. Fight anybody. Every person the UFC decides not to sign, they just throw him to Gegard until eventually Gegard's a free agent again, and then the UFC brings him back.
Well, no, he said he's going to be done. He's only do like 3 more fights.
Yeah, that's what he says. We'll see. Gegard Mousasi is the money hunter, bro. He likes that check.
He's fought so much, though. He's fought so much.
Yeah, but he likes cashing those checks, man. He likes that money. Yeah, pay the man.
Yeah.
Pay the man. So that was it for the weekend. Those were the Bellator fights. They were all fun. I enjoyed both of them. I still don't know how I feel about two cards a weekend. I know it's fun, but it's still a little much.
I like it. I mean, it's if there's not a UFC, I think it's a good idea because so say there was a UFC, you're still watching two cards that weekend.
Right? Yeah, that's true.
So, I mean, what's the difference besides the fact that Now you're getting more fighters mm-hmm. out there. You have more, you know, you're being more active with your roster mm-hmm. and, you know, you have a chance to get a little bit more eyes on you.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
that's true.
That's, you know.
Yeah. Well, outside of Bellator, we had a couple of fun fight announcements that happened this week.
Yeah. Yeah. With UFC stuff, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
We can talk about your favorite one.
Who?
The Black Beast.
Derek Lewis versus fucking Daniel Cormier. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know, here's the thing that annoys me about the MMA media, okay, is all of them complain about, oh, the UFC is going to make Brock Lesnar versus DC. He doesn't deserve it, da-da-da-da-da. And now that Derek Lewis versus DC gets announced, everyone's complaining about that fight. He doesn't deserve it, blah-blah-blah-blah-blah. Well, if you look at his record, he does actually technically fucking deserve it. So you guys need to shut the fuck up. Be happy. I fucking hate MMA media. I'm about to unfollow all these motherfuckers. They're annoying as shit. They love to like these fucking these shitty ass like troll web MMA website or Twitter accounts where they don't have their fucking pictures and they say the rudest shit about fighters and they're always liking their stuff. I've been going on a blocking spree because of them. I just can't. If you don't have a picture of yourself on your Twitter, you're getting fucking blocked. I don't care if you say anything nice to me or not. You're getting blocked because I don't trust you. You're a fucking pussy and you're hiding behind a fake facade and it's annoying. I just had to get that off my chest.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. I think Derek Lewis does deserve a shot when you look at his record. But I don't think he's really got a shot in this fight. I mean, no, granted,
is it a mismatch? Yeah, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he has a puncher chance, right?
Yeah, exactly. I feel like it feels to me like the UFC is saying, hey, DC, we know you have like one or two more fights left in you.
Yeah.
We want you to go out on top. We're mm-hmm. going to give you Derek Lewis to hold you over till Brock is ready. Then mm-hmm. we're going to give you Brock Lesnar and then you can retire.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because like they obviously don't want to match him up with Stipe again for some reason, even though I think realistically, man, he's probably going to beat Stipe if they fight again.
Fast and he hits hard at heavyweight. I mean,
Stipe's chin is always in question. And I saw Stipe say the other day, if they fight 10 times, he wins 9 out of the 10. Like, yeah. You're out of your fucking mind.
And then
Stipe.
DC replied with, well, it looks like I won that 1 out of the 10 times, huh? Like,
yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, that first one, I got real lucky.
Yeah.
Slipping your punch and knocking you out.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
But I mean, you know.
But
there was also that Miocic was trying to point out like that DC even admitted that you know he has more ways to lose to Miocic than DC than Derek Lewis.
Yeah, of course.
Well, yeah, and you know he was but trying to use that as a thing, but DC was saying like I'm not going to fight you on short notice. I will fight you again if I have a full camp.
Yeah, of course. You
know? So like
you're dangerous. And the other thing is, yeah, Stipe's awesome. Like I'm a biggest supporter as you can get. I love Stipe. I want him to be the heavyweight champion again. I want him to get another shot. I want him to be able to get in there and fight. Stipe's great.
Mm-hmm.
That said, Derek Lewis and DC yeah. is a sellable fight.
Yeah.
And I want to follow both of them on Twitter. I want to just delete all other followers and only follow those two for that whole
the back
camp.
And forth banter.
Yeah, dude, yeah. just to see what they say. Like and they're friendly with each other, so that's even better. Yeah. Like they're gonna crack jokes back and forth. Maybe one of them gets upset at the other one, but like they're totally gonna be mm-hmm. fine after the fight, and I like that even more.
Yeah.
And so they're gonna crack wise a little bit. They're gonna have a good time. They both are gonna they're both gonna not take things super seriously in the media and yeah. like I don't like when DC and John Jones are just like at each other's throats and like I mean there's something that's fun about it
mm-hmm.
but at the same time I just get so fucking sick of it. Like I don't need all that posturing.
Yeah.
So this is a sellable fight. People are going to want to watch it. Derek Lewis can destroy you with one punch as we saw in his last fight, and you know whatever, like that'll be fun, but I want to see that fight.
Mm-hmm.
The other fight, though, that got announced that impacts DC is John Jones versus Alexander Gustafsson, as the UFC has decided they're going to strip DC of the light heavyweight title.
Which is, you know, this is fucking annoying. That is so annoying by the UFC. It's like, yeah, let's have you fight for another belt. Well, why are you having him fight for another belt if you're just automatically going to just strip him?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Like, what's the fucking point of it? If he's going to be a two-division champ for what, fucking 2 days? Like that, what's that fucking hold? It doesn't hold fucking merit for anything.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Like they waited so long to strip fucking Connor, but as soon as DC gets cleared because Dana cut her check to USADA, it's like, oh no, we need John Jones to have the belt again.
Yeah.
Fuck you guys, man. I hate the UFC. I fucking hate them.
Yeah, and I just I hate the obvious favoritism. It's kind of bullshit.
It's fucking horseshit, man.
That said though, I mean, if you're gonna have somebody fight for a light heavyweight title and John Jones has to be one of the guys, I guess the person you want him to fight is Alexander Gustafsson.
That is true.
That's the fight we all want to see. So
yeah.
So okay. You know?
And I'm fucking team Gus.
Yeah,
I hope he shocks the goddamn world.
Lusty Gusty and me are going all the way.
Lusty I'm Gusty, with it. I like that.
I love him. I love him. I hope he wins. I hope he does John Jones dirty.
I honestly think he beats him.
You know, my only concern for Alexander Gustafsson is his chin. Sometimes when he gets caught, his reactions to a big shot leave him open, and that always freaks me out. But he's a developed fighter. He's very good. John Jones coming in off a layoff, and hopefully John Jones being tested very heavily for his entire camp.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so you would assume that you have an even playing field. And, you know, I mean, their first fight was really close. Although, go back and rewatch that fight, and all the people who were like, Alexander Gustafsson won that fight because I was in that camp. I went back and rewatched, and ooh, I don't think so.
I don't know, man.
Go rewatch it, dude.
We'll have a fucking viewing party or something. And I'll be like, yeah.
I understand the argument, but the more I watch it, the more I'm like, oh, it's closer than I thought it was, man. I feel like
it was a very close fight. I think it could have gone either way, but yeah. I think Gustafsson won that.
In my head, it was definitive in the moment, but you know, you go back and watch, and I feel like John Jones probably got the nod.
This is why I have Gustafsson winning. So as far, you know, first things first, John Jones, everyone's like, oh, he's this great guy, da da da. The thing is with John Jones is like when you fight him the first time, you don't know, you know, what it's going to be like with his reach and all that. How many rematches does he have in his career? One. Okay. He's only had one. So once you get into that first time with him, you kind of know what to deal with, right? DC was doing great in the rematch. They figured out some shit, you know, then he eventually got caught. But my point is Gustafsson has that length that DC is not good with dealing with. Like he seems to have a problem with guys who are a little bit lankier and kind of bigger, like
Jones, you mean?
Yeah, Jones. Yeah. Sorry. You know, against OSP or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think Gustafsson's a little faster. He's faster than DC. He has great movement.
You think he's faster than DC?
He's faster than DC. Or not DC. Sorry. Fuck, man. John Jones.
Yeah, I was going to say DC is so fast.
Sorry. I meant John Jones. Yeah. He's faster than John Jones. He has that length, right? He knows how to use his length, and he's very good at landing and getting out of the way of your shots.
Mm-hmm.
If you go, you know, you watch fucking the Teixeira fucking combo. Mm-hmm. Boom, boom, boom. You go and, you know, watch all these fights. I mean, yeah, he's been knocked out, but it was fucking Anthony Johnson.
Right? Yeah.
And there's the head clash and all that, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, then people are going to bring in the wrestling. If you go to the first fight, Jones wasn't able really to take him down.
Yeah.
He figured that part out.
That's my question is, does John Jones just work wrestling for this camp and go, I'm going to get this dude on the ground and just ground and pound him mm-hmm. to death?
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's got to be your game plan, right? Like,
yeah.
The one place Gustafsson is going to hurt you is if you continue to stand up with him. So why would your game plan be any different, you know? But that being said, look what happened when he fought DC.
Right.
So.
Well, and then, but another thing too is that I think is, has changed since then is Gustafsson has found his power. Because before... Mm-hmm. Before the John Jones fight, I don't think he had very many knockouts or whatever. But afterwards, you know, he knocked out Teixeira. He knocked out Menua. You know, I feel like he knocked out someone else. But anyways, it feels like his power is coming into his hands.
Developed better.
Yeah, it just in his flow. And I'm going with Gustafsson on this. I just see him winning this fight. I'm not going to say he's going to dominate, but I think a lot of people are going to be surprised.
Yeah, I understand that.
I feel like he has improved more than John Jones has.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I mean, certainly it makes sense in that he's been out there being able to improve, mm-hmm. where John Jones maybe in the gym he's improved, but we don't get to watch him fight, you know? So,
yeah, yeah.
So there's that to consider.
I just think that movement's going to be too much. I think that movement's going to be key. John Jones isn't a very movement guy. He's pretty flat footed, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense, man. That does make a lot of sense. I agree that Gustafson probably has developed more power at this point, and he's also improved his striking. It seems like he's been able to, his combinations have landed more clean. Mm-hmm. It seems that when he's throwing more combinations. So, yeah,
it's
man.
It's just like these pitter patter shots that just add up over time. Yeah. I don't know. Me and you were talking about this before, like, you know, if Gustafson's an underdog or whatever, we'll bet, da da da. Mm-hmm. But like, as I'm like right now, I'm breaking it down in my head, and I'm watching the way like he moves, like I'm watching the way he does it, and those fucking uppercuts. Mark my words, those uppercuts are gonna play a fucking huge part in this fight. Just the way he throws them, there's like this weird like kind of loopy timing, but it just bat, 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 and he just picks away at you, man.
Yeah, and you know, he does work with a fighter who I think has probably helped develop his game. A person who's in his camp a lot is Israel Adesanya.
So, oh shit, I didn't know he worked with him.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, don't forget, he has as Mr. Wonderful.
Yeah, that's true.
For his wrestling.
He does have Mr. Wonderful. So
that's another big lanky guy. These are good partners.
Good partners, for sure. The one thing John Jones has that I don't think people give him credit for, his chin's held up, man. He's taking some big shots, and his chin is held up.
Starting to add up. He eats a lot of shots that people don't. He's eaten a lot of shots his last few fights.
That's true. I'm just saying. DC has landed some big shots on John Jones, and remember, DC just put the heavyweight champion of the world on his butt in their fight when he fought Stipe.
Yeah, you know? But he also feels like that the weight, you know, the whole weight.
I know.
Cut thing.
I know that's how he feels. I'm just saying. I'm trying to say DC hits really freaking hard.
Yeah.
And he puts a lot of dudes down, and John Jones is not one of those dudes, you know. And Gustafson can take a shot too, so it'll be a good fight, man. I mean,
do you know who else has a really good chin? Teixeira.
Yeah.
You know what happened to him?
Yeah.
Night night.
Yeah, nighty night.
Everybody go night night.
Everybody go night night. Well, we'll see what happens.
No, it's a very good fight. I'm excited.
I half want to like boycott it.
Oh, just because,
just because John Jones.
I'm for sure going to be, you know, just, I'm going to be on the internet that night, just, you know, doing my normal internet thing, just looking at, you know, some anime or, you know, some articles. And, you know, if I stumble across something that's streaming it, I might not look away.
Yeah, you know, right. Well, you're going to report to the UFC, right? Isn't that what you've been trying to do, is let them know when you find illegal streams?
I'll shoot. I might send out like a tweet like, hey.
Just so you know that somebody's streaming it illegally. I don't know who they are.
Some dickhead, like dickhead 49 is streaming UFC, whatever.
Yeah. That's it. Well, what I want to know is, and I made this, I said this as a joke on Twitter, but are there going to be odds on if John Jones pisses hot for this
That's
fight?
A good point, yeah.
Because, man, if there are odds on John Jones coming up dirty on this fight, I am betting on them. I am totally taking the yes side of that argument. For sure, he's going to fuck up, and he's going to pee in a cup, and it's going to come up dirty for something stupid. And I don't even care if it's for some stupid, he got these eye drops and they happen to have something in it. He's so dumb that that's what would happen to him. So
I feel like it wouldn't be him pissing hot. It's going to be something outside the cage. That's going to be.
Oh, like he's going to get like, drunk driving and run over
stupid.
A child or something.
John
something
Jones,
like John Jones would do.
John
Idiot.
Jones seen at the club. Doing a whole pile of cocaine as if his name is Scarface, like something right. like that, you know?
Yeah, John Jones borrowed Conor McGregor's Lamborghini and crashed it on the strip.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, something like that.
Something weird.
Something super weird.
There's probably his bets like, will he make it to the fight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if you didn't, if you already didn't like Conor McGregor, I just wanted to mention that he was a guest today at the Cowboys game. He was a guest of the Dallas Cowboys.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So if you didn't like him before, like you got to not like him now, right? Isn't that gross?
It's disgusting.
Like, come on.
Cowboys.
I know.
You know what makes me mad about the Cowboys?
Everything.
Well, the fact that they claim to be America's team when they're fucking not. Like they started that whole shit themselves.
Yeah, man. Cowboys fans pack strong, though. They're the worst, but they show up everywhere. They're like the rats of the NFL fan. They show up everywhere.
They show up everywhere.
They just continue to breed, even though you try to, you know, find ways to make them stop. There's nothing you can do.
They're the worst. They're the scum of the earth.
Yeah, they're pretty bad. But you know what's even worse than that? Broncos fans.
Really?
I hate the Broncos.
I don't run into many Broncos fans, so yeah. I don't know.
Good.
Good. Okay. All right.
I hate the Broncos. I hope Steve Atwater chokes on some popcorn tonight.
Look at that, man. We brought it full circle. We started with football, and we're ending with football.
That's right.
Hey, the writer and the football guy.
That's right. Yeah. You know what the real link is?
What?
CTE.
CTE, man.
Always
there
comes
it is.
Back to CTE.
Hey.
All right. Well, if you like our CTE antics and you wanna give us some love, jump on iTunes, leave us a 5-star written review, go on Facebook, share the podcast with some friends. We always post a link on there. Be sure to tell a couple people about the show and follow Jake and I on social media. Jake is at Uber Smitty on all social media. I'm at David Golden MMA on Twitter. Until next time, CTE for the win.
Woo!